Very good. And we want to, if you are a child and need to head to junior church, you can also be dismissed at this time. Well, several years ago, I was living in Illinois, my family, and I pulled up to a stoplight, and there was a vehicle in front of me, and I made a very interesting observation. The SUV in front of me had one of these big spare tire, you know, things on the back, and proudly displayed on that circle of that spare tire holder was a set of Texas Longhorn ears, you know, or antlers, or whatever you call those things. Longhorns, antlers. Well, you know, I'm a city boy. Go Antlers. There we go. All right, I messed up the illustration already. Great. So anyway, hush over there. Crystal, I'm going to need to bring them over. One's going to have to sit on this side of you and one on the other side.
It wouldn't be the first.
So that Texas Longhorns on the spare tire. And then I looked out at the license plate and framed around the license plate itself. Again, Texas on the top, Longhorns on the bottom. And I could tell that the people driving this vehicle, they were loyal. I mean, they were into it. The interesting thing that I noticed, though, was the license plate itself did not say Texas. It said Illinois. Land of Lincoln. There was good old Honest Abe's profile right there on the license plate. And I came to a conclusion that the people in that car had one time probably lived in Texas and were huge Longhorn fans, but they had moved to a different territory, but their loyalties had not moved. Friends, this is the challenge of the Christian life. Because you see, we have moved from one kingdom to another, but one of the hardest things that you will go through in life is switching your loyalties from your old kingdom, the kingdom of this world, the Bible calls it, to your new kingdom, the kingdom of God, which you have now been made a part through faith in Jesus Christ. This is what we want to talk about this morning. Children of the kingdom. The scripture uses interesting language, powerful language, strong language. In speaking about this world, Peter tells the believers that he's writing to in his letter, you are aliens and strangers in this world. You live here. Your physical residence is here. All the people that you know are here, but in reality, you are aliens and strangers in this world. This world belongs to another kingdom and another realm, and I've pulled you out of that in your heart. Speaking to the church, in another place, Paul says to the believers, consequently, in speaking about the kingdom of heaven belonging to God, he says, you are no longer foreigners and aliens to the kingdom of God, but you are fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. You see, the great challenge for us as believers is to deal with these and to overcome these divided loyalties that we have transferred from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of God. The scripture says that happened. That happened in God's economy. The moment you trusted in Christ, you crossed over from darkness unto what? Light. From the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God, He has placed you spiritually in a new place. But yet we have a divided civil war, tug of war going on in our souls. There's a part of that old kingdom of the world that we love and we want to be a part of, and you know, who we used to be before we came to Christ, and those things are familiar to us, and the allure of some of that, the sin of that, is still pulls on us. And having a kingdom where I'm in charge and it's all about me, that's the kingdom of this world, we kind of like that. But then there's that new heart that God gives us, and He's saying, no, I've made you a part of my kingdom under my kingship, and we feel torn. And part of the battle of the Christian life is that battle. So we're working through this little series on the Lord's Prayer. Just to review just a little bit to kind of pull this together. Remember last week we talked about the disciples, the guys that hung out with Jesus when He was here on earth. They looked at His life. They saw His miracles that He performed. They heard His teaching, which was with authority and was powerful. They saw Him cast out demons from demon-possessed people. They saw Him walk on water. They saw Him do all these things. And they said to Him, you remember what their request was, Lord, teach us one thing, teach us to pray. You see, they saw that the power of the life of Jesus, the power behind all that He did, was His connection to His Father. The Scripture says, and we're eventually going to get to this in this series, but the Scripture, it's an interesting study to study the life of Christ. Before every major decision He made, you find Him spending the night in a solitary place in prayer. The Scripture says that Jesus often got alone by Himself to pray. And they saw that that was the secret to who He was. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so the Lord's Prayer is part of His response. He's saying these are the things that ought to be contained in a prayer that connects with the heart of God. And we saw last week the prayer of adoration. Hallowed be Your name. O God, above everything else, we start by focusing upon You and who You are, because it's all about You and Your glory, and that You would be honored. And the word hallowed means Your name would be set apart or sanctified. And the prayer is, not only in my life do I want Your name to be glorified, but in this whole world, in the lives of other Christians, may Your name be glorified by the way that we live. And in this whole world, may Your name be bowed down and worshiped by more and more people as we move forward in time. And then He turned, and as I said a few minutes ago, we look around and we realize, wow, the truth is that there isn't a whole lot of people hallowing God's name right now. And sometimes even in my own heart, as a Christian, I don't really adore and worship God the way that I should. My heart struggles with that battle. And so the next request comes, but God, Your kingdom come. That's a request. The prayer is praying to God. God, cause Your kingdom to come down here where we live. That's the request that we need to pray. I know you've said the words because you've said the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come, but have you ever really prayed it and meant it? Oh God, please bring Your kingdom here. We sang about it in that first song. Build Your kingdom here. That should be part of our prayer, the heart of prayer. Your kingdom come is really, as I hope you will get before I'm done this morning, if the first prayer was a prayer of adoration, hallowed be Your name, the prayer, Thy kingdom come, it's a prayer of surrender. It's a prayer of coming low before God. Your kingdom come, your will be done. So if you get your outlines, want to follow along, Jeff, just going to look at a few aspects of this morning. I want you to understand something. As a student of the Bible, which you all should be to some degree or another, as people who care about what the Bible says, and even though it's hard to sometimes to grasp the kind of the whole message of the Bible, I want to just give you a cliff note. As I have spent years, and I'm not the best Bible scholar in the world, but I feel like I have a decent grasp of God's Word, I want to tell you something this morning that I hope will stick in your hearts and your mind. The kingdom of God is a major theme of the Bible. So when I say I'm talking about the kingdom of God, that is a phrase that is used over and over in the Bible. So we need to understand what it means. When we say, hey, God, build your kingdom here, we probably ought to know what we're asking. So what is the kingdom of God? Let me ask you a question. Who usually rules over a kingdom? A king. And this gives us a clue to what the meaning of this is. So the first blank. God's kingdom is His sovereign rulership. That's what the kingdom of God means. Rulership. Lordship. You're in charge. You're in control. You're building something here called a kingdom, and you're the boss. Now bring that reality down here where we live. His sovereign, just a big fancy word that just means like totally in control. His sovereign rulership. That's the prayer request. But we're going to see this morning that the prayer request is to bring that rulership at a couple of different levels in Scripture. Christians are people who belong to God's kingdom, yet we still reside in this kingdom. So we're saying, thy kingdom come down here where we live. We live in one kingdom, but we are true citizens of another kingdom, a spiritual kingdom. We live in a kingdom that's governed, if you will, by one set of rules and morality. And the boss of it, the kingdom that we physically live in, isn't God in one sense, but it's who? Go ahead and say it. It's the devil. He's the ruler of the kingdom of the air. He's the ruler of this world. And he operates it by a whole different set of guidelines and standards and morality. And it's all bad. Right? But yet, as Christians, we belong to another kingdom that's ruled by another ruler. And he's got a whole different set of rules and standards and dynamics of how the whole thing is supposed to work. It's love and it's grace and it's obedience and it's faithfulness. But God is bringing His kingdom that He is ruling, and He's penetrating this kingdom. And it starts really small, started with just a few hundred believers at the beginning. And it started to grow. And more people accepted Christ. Peter preached a sermon in Acts chapter 2, and 3,000 people got saved. And it started to grow. And then those people, some of them went out as missionaries like Paul, and some of them just scattered back home when persecution started, but they took the message, and in villages and little towns all over the Mediterranean Sea, in that area, churches started up, and the kingdom started to come in those little pockets of people that represented a new kingdom. And over the course of now 2,000 years, that kingdom has spread and spread and spread to every nation. He's building His kingdom. Now, there's an interesting phrase. I want to get technical with you for just a minute. I want you to put on your thinking caps. There's a phrase that theologians use to try to describe how the kingdom is coming here, how God is building His kingdom. And they use this phrase, already, but not yet. In other words, there's some senses in which God's kingdom is already here and present and growing, but there's a couple of other senses in which it's not fully here yet. And so it's gradual, and there's some aspects that are going to kind of wait till the very end. So I want to kind of unpack that just a little bit. Because the prayer request, "Thy kingdom come," is really for both parts. God, in the ways that you're already building your kingdom here, keep doing it. Do it in my life. Do it in our church. And then there are some ways in which it's not yet happened because Christ hasn't come back to fully establish it, His rule. And so we're to pray for that too. And we're to keep our focus on that. That's our hope and our glory and our future. So let's walk through this outline just a little bit. There's three aspects of God's rulership or God's kingdom. Number one, His rulership over all other kingdoms. When we say your kingdom come, there's a sense in which He already is in charge. He's sovereign. He's God over all other kingdoms. So let me just read a couple of passages here. 2 Chronicles 29. It's an Old Testament passage that David expresses this. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, the gathered nation of Israel, and he said, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth, it's yours. O Lord, yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hand are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give thanks to you and praise your glorious name." David is acknowledging in one sense, even though there are kings of different nations and presidents and dictators here and there, and some of them have been really evil and done really horrible things, the bottom line is they're still underneath God. He's still over them. He's over the kingdoms of this earth. There was a time, maybe you remember this story. There was a king named Nebuchadnezzar, and he's the one that came from Babylon, and he took all the nation of Israel into exile, into captivity, because they had been so disobedient. He was one of the strongest kings on the planet at that time, and he tried to raise himself above God, and he started to think he was so great, and God humbled him. And for 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind. And he wandered in the field like a cow and ate grass and slobbered all over himself. And he literally lost his mind. He would have been in a mental institution in today's world. And then God let him have his sanity back. And here was what Nebuchadnezzar said, and this is in Daniel 4. "At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified Him who lives forever. His dominion or rule is an eternal dominion or rule. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as He pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back His hand or say to Him, 'What have you done?'" There is a sense in which God does rule, and all of the kingdoms of this earth are on a leash that He has control of. And I don't want to get into trying to explain, well, how does a good God then allow bad governments, and how does he allow Adolf Hitlers and you know, bad things to happen? All I can say is, yeah, in a fallen world, God kind of lets some things just play out, but you need to understand, even in the reality of evil, God is over it, and he's using it, and he is in control. And I hope that you can derive some comfort from that tonight when you watch the daily news and you see all the evil that is happening and terrorism and all of this stuff that can really frighten us. And we think, oh my goodness, the world is out of control and God's nowhere to be seen. Man, Nebuchadnezzar says, wait a minute. God's in control. He is in control. Take comfort in that, friends. He is ruling the universe every second of every day. The next aspect, if you'll follow along, and this is really the heart of the message today. This is where it applies to you personally, and that is his rulership over his followers. That's us. His rulership over his people. In other words, when you pray, thy kingdom come, you're saying to God, this is why this is a prayer of surrender. You're saying to God, God, rule my life. Rule, be my king. You're in charge. I'm bringing my life and I'm laying it before you. How many of the worship songs that we sing are about that? We're bringing our lives before God. We're surrendering to God. That's the spirit of this prayer. Again, if you would indulge me in reading another passage from Colossians that kind of summarizes this. It's an extended passage, but just kind of meditate on it with me. For this reason, Paul says, he's writing to Christians again, since the day we heard about you, this church, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. You're praying for spiritual life. We pray this in order that you may, here it is, live a life worthy of the Lord, and that you may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. I don't know about you, but that's what I want in my life. I want to please God in every way. It says, being strengthened with all the power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father. Now listen to this, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Two ways to live. This is from an old Campus Crusade for Christ tract. The rulership question, thy kingdom come. I just want to make it real simple. Who's on the throne of your life right now? Who's in charge of your life? This S stands for self, meaning you're on the throne of your life. You're in charge, and the cross is down here. And it's like Jesus exists to meet your needs and to give you whatever you want. And that's the mentality of a lot of Christians, especially in Western consumeristic Christianity. Does that phrase make sense to you? We think God exists to meet our needs. We think we're on the throne and we're on charge, and he's like our little genie in the bottle. And we go to him and he gives us what we want and he makes our life easy and he makes the diseases go away and he makes the hurtful times just go away. It doesn't work that way. Thy kingdom come is right here. And I know you can't all see it. It's simply the prayer, God, Jesus, you be on the throne of my life. You're in charge. I'm bowing before you in prayer. I'm bringing my life before you and saying, God, your kingdom, your rulership, you're in charge. God, what do you want? Your will be done. We'll look at that next week a little more. And so I simply want to ask this morning, who's on the throne of your life? Who's in charge? Who's king? You notice the prayer isn't my will be done or my kingdom come. It's your kingdom, your will. And that is the prayer of a person seeking God in surrender. To the high school student, college student, young person who's sitting in the classroom and you're tempted to cheat on a test, what does it mean for Christ to be on the throne of your life? You say, wait a minute, I'm not going to do that. Because I'm following God and He's in charge and I'm doing things His way. I'm going to be a person of integrity. To the mom who's at home or working and at home with a house full of kids and you're feeling stressed and overwhelmed, what does it look like for God to be on the throne of your life as you attempt to trust Him with the busyness and the stress? For somebody who's aging and you're wondering, what does God have for me at this stage of my life? What is his kingdom and His rulership look like as I try to be a part of building His kingdom and a part of His church? God, what do you have for me? What does this look like? As a church family. Because see, this isn't just an individual picture. This is a picture of how churches can function. Right? Churches cannot have Christ on the throne. What does it look like for a church to say, God, you're in charge of us. What do you want to do with us? Let's go back to that song. What does it look like for you to build your kingdom here? Here. In us and through us. We want to be a part of your kingdom. Remember, I preached a couple weeks ago when we did our dedication of the paying off of the mortgage. I talked about that passage where Jesus said, I will build my church. He is building His church. And nothing's going to stop it. But the question is, as a local church, will we partner with Him? Will we participate meaningfully with Him as He builds His church? It's not automatic. One of the stats I will share a little bit later in the sharing time, in North America, anywhere, I've read different statistics, anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 churches in North America shut their doors for the final time every year. The American church is shrinking. It's not automatic. God, build your kingdom here in our midst. So I just want to give you some time as I close this in prayer. And I want you to pray that prayer. Make it personal. God, I know that in my personal life, you're really not on the throne. You are in charge, but I don't act like you're in charge. You're over my life. I was bought at a great price with the blood of Christ, but I'm living like I'm my own person. I'm telling you, for some of us, the American individual, I'm in charge of my own life mindset runs absolutely contrary to putting Christ on the throne. And it makes this really, really challenging. This is the prayer of complete surrender, saying, God, my life is yours. I want to do what you want me to do. Change me. Make me more like Jesus. You are in charge, and I'm surrendered to you. Pray that for yourself this morning and make that a part of your regular prayer. And then pray that for this congregation that you're a part of. God, your kingdom come in our family. Direct us, lead us, give us discernment, give us great faith, give us hope. Be with our family. So let's pray together. Precious Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your kingdom, your rulership. You are in charge. Father, as we sit here, as we kind of wind down this morning, that picture of two thrones, and on one of them, I'm on the throne, and the cross is kind of out of the picture or below. That's how we live a lot of the time. But then there's the reality that you call us to in this prayer, thy kingdom come, where you are on the throne, where Christ is on the throne, and we are in submission. And God, the first prayer this morning is just, we want to get off the throne. To whatever degree, as individuals, we are on the throne of our own lives. We are in charge. We're making our own decisions. We're not even consulting you. God, forgive us. That is sin. That is the essence of sin. And right now, God, we climb down off that throne. And we put you there because you really are already there. You are in charge. Forgive us for being so foolish. And God, we come and we bow down and we worship you. And we say, God, be the King. Be the Lord. Be over my life and help me, God, to surrender to your ways. You're in charge. It's about you and your glory. And God, may we keep you on the throne day by day, week by week. May this image of the thrones be something you keep bringing back to our minds. And then, God, we pray secondly for the congregation, the church family, this little group of believers that comes together and worships together. And God, build your kingdom, bring your kingdom here in increasing ways. Even be with our meeting this afternoon as we talk about some of these things in greater details. We talk about some of the strengths and some of the concerns and some of the challenges that we might face as a congregation. God, may we go into that with a mindset of building your kingdom and praying that prayer. So Lord, we love you and we ask these things in Christ's name today. Amen.